is lost, the one that is left behind, the one that is wayward. Thank you, Lord God, that your goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives. Lord, thank you that you promise, Lord God, that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And that's why we're here this morning, Lord God. We're not here to just get our Christian duty done for today and then carry on regardless. We're here for you, Lord. We're here to honor you. We're here to serve you. We're reporting for duty. We're here to be taught, to be encouraged, to be filled with hope, to have our faith strengthened. We are to be chastised, Lord God. We are to be corrected. Whatever it is that you need to do in our hearts, that's why we're here, Lord God. We're not playing church. This is not what we do. This is not religion, Lord. This is who you've called us to be. Your sons and daughters, thank you that we have the privilege of getting together like this and worshiping you. And God, we can allow ourselves to be distracted by the weather, the lights, the air cons, cell phones, what's waiting for us tomorrow, what's happened yesterday, any aches or pains in our body now, or we can just focus on you. And Lord, we need your help, Lord. We are so easily distracted. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you come and you just take every heart and every mind captive this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, whether our bodies feel like it or not, we choose to hear from you. With our will, we make a decision this morning, Lord, to hear from you. Holy Spirit, you promise that you will draw near to us as we draw near to you. Lord, I ask that you speak into our hearts this morning and that we leave this place more in love with Jesus than before we came, that we know you more, Lord God, because that's eternal life. And that we become more like Jesus as a result of our time spent in your presence. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I'm just going to give Esther an opportunity to share a word that the Lord has laid on her heart for us this morning.
Good morning, everybody. The Lord showed me a cup that are running over. And he said, it's time to empty the cup. Because you cannot be blessed if your cup stays full.
Sure. Thank you for your obedience. I believe that speaks so much into the appeal that we made for volunteers this morning. I know and I trust and believe, or else I've not done a good enough job, that there are people here that are going to be able to preach much better than I ever preached. No amens. Come on. We've got to do our job in such a way that the people that come after us do a better job than we ever have. That is what growth looks like. So I trust these people here with gifts and talents and abilities way beyond what I've been able to do. You can relax. I'm not retiring. I'm not going anywhere. Some of you are saying, "Oh." But I believe that word which God laid on Esther's heart speaks into the fact that we need volunteers. We need people to become participators and no longer spectators. Is that okay with everybody this morning? You may remember a couple of weeks back, we'd done that long sermon series on God's house of prayer, and we looked at Jesus' prayer in the garden. But one of the prayers that we didn't look at, and we're not going to speak about that again for now, is the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches us to pray. In Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus starts off that prayer by saying this. How many of you know how the Lord's Prayer starts? I'm so glad you said that. You see, God is multifaceted. God has many, many roles. He's played various roles over the history of mankind and the history of the universe. So Jesus could have said, when you pray, I want you to pray like this. Our judge who is in heaven. Sometimes where God has to judge as a father. He could have started off by teaching us to pray. When you pray, say, our creator who is in heaven. Because God is a father that creates. He could have told us to pray. When you pray, say, our king who is in heaven. Because God is a father and he has to rule and reign as a king. And he could have prayed and said, our chastiser or our rebuker. Or our admonisher, because there's a time when God has to chastise, rebuke, and admonish. So for the youngsters, you're looking at me, Mozzie, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you. A chastiser or a rebuker, somebody that chastises you, speaks into your life when you're doing wrong to correct you for the purpose of putting you on the right path. And a chastiser is also somebody that, if necessary, where you have to apply, I don't have one here, let me use an example. Vita stock of a slander, because you got like size 92 shoes. So a chastiser is somebody who then takes the rod of correction and applies it to the seat of learning. Today in schools, that's taboo. In this country, who the majority of us turned its back against God, that's considered, no, you don't do that. But God actually knows best how to raise children, because he invented us. Hello. And that's what a chastiser does. Jesus could have taught us to say, our chastiser who is in heaven. But no, he says, when you pray, I want you to pray like this. God bless your shoes, sir, and your steps. Thank you that those feet are shod with the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, ready to go out and proclaim the good news. So Jesus chose to teach us to say, our Father who is in heaven. And we're going to revisit the sermon series that we've done in 2022. How many of you remember the sermon series that we've done in 2022? What was it geweest? It was called Hearts of the Fathers. I believe the Holy Spirit has laid on our hearts to address the issue of fatherlessness again. So it's my privilege this morning. If you haven't been part of that, I want you to hold into your seats and brace yourselves, because your life is never going to be the same again if you apply and learn from the sermon series. And I've just called it, this time around, we've called it The World Needs a Father. And if you look at the information letter, whatever you want to call it, the Weekliks of Blaikie that you've got this morning, it's got a picture of a dad holding his son. And I thought to myself, depending on your view of God, you can either see this as a father saying to this little boy, luister hierso, you klein snot. The neck, I've told you how many times before, you haven't listened, now I'm going to you. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? You can see that this is the father. All this father does is, or you can see the biblical image that's portrayed in the Bible of who God is as a loving, caring father, whispering in the ear of this little boy saying, in spite of what the world says, in spite of what the devil's told you, in spite of the lies that you believe, in spite of your doubts of yourself, I know you can do it. I've created you for more, my boy. I love you. That's what I want you to see in this picture. And what we're going to speak about is the most vile curse, for want of a better word, that faces the world and people today is the curse of fatherlessness. And our foundation scripture is from the last book of the Old Testament, before there's the 400 and something odd year gap where God starts speaking again to people prophetically. It's the book of Malachi in the Bible, chapter 4 and verse 6. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. And it says, his preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. And Father, we thank you that we have your word today, Lord. Lord, this is not just words that we're reading on a screen or print on a page. Father, this is life. This is alive. This is real. This is what sets us free and changes us. And as we spend time looking at your word, thank you that the word of God, Jesus, manifests in our midst this morning in our hearts and our minds as we unpack the truths of what you teach us. In Jesus' mighty name. And this sermon series is based on the 2022 series that we've done in 2022 called Hearts of the Fathers. And it's to just revisit the crucial role that fathers play in our lives. I want to make this opening statement to you as by a guy called Stephen Baskerville. And he writes and he makes a statement. He says, virtually every major social pathology, that means all the ills that are wrong in society, all the things that are wrong, from be it socioeconomic issues, government issues, parent issues, education issues, healthcare issues, all the things that are drastically wrong in the world. Virtually every major social pathology has been linked to fatherlessness. Violent crime, drug and alcohol abuse, teen pregnancy, suicide all correlate more strongly to fatherlessness than to any other single factor. The connection with fatherlessness is so strong that it erases the relationships between race and crime, low income and crime. So if I have to say to you a little bit of a Bible test and a Bible quiz this morning, what would you say is the primary purpose for Jesus coming to earth? Why did Jesus come to earth, die, lay down his life, be raised from dead and go back to the Father? Why did Jesus do that? Speak to me. Don't be afraid of giving the wrong answer. Anybody, speak to me. To pay for sins, show us the way, to save our souls, yes. Help other people, come and do the will of his Father. We're warming up. Take us back to the Father. Take us back to the Father to show us love. All of that is all 100% true. But you know what we've all overlooked this morning? A question that is asked of Jesus, and Jesus answers that question, and that gives us a different idea, an added idea to why Jesus came. So there's a time where they ask Jesus, Jesus, show us the Father. Show us the Father. They want to know. Show us the Father. Because Jesus was on and on and on about, I've come to do the will of my Father, come to do the will of my Father. And they're like, okay, dude, who's just show us this Father of yours. Okay? So when Philip asked Jesus to show them the Father, Jesus says this in John 14 and verse 9. He says, Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Church, one of the reasons, including the ones that we've all said this morning, and thank you for your enthusiastic participation, one of the reasons why Jesus also came is to show us the Father. To show us the Father. That's why I said to him, guys, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What does he mean? The physical person of God? No. He was God manifest in the flesh. God became flesh. But his spirit, his heart, his teaching, his principles, his values, his miraculous power, his grace, his mercy, his correction, his righteous judgment. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, Philip, I've been with you all the time. Have you not noticed what it is that you've been seeing? And Jesus came to show us the Father. Why? So that we can be restored back to the Father, to pay for our sins, so that we can learn to help others and realize that we're not just here for ourselves. So Jesus' purpose was to show us the Father. How many of us would say, let me ask this. How many of you have heard that expression, it's like heaven on earth? We tell people marriage. All the married men, raise your hands. Those who want to be married, raise your hands. Those who wish you weren't married, no, don't say. Marriage can be the closest thing to heaven or hell on earth, depending on what you do with it. So then that concept of heaven and earth. God wants heaven on earth. He said, Mozzie, where do you get that from? Well, die einste gebed wat ons oor gepraat het. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's God's will? Children restored to a father. Children restored to a father. Not a children lost because of their rebelliousness, because of their sin, and also just being attacked and destroyed by an enemy that they're not strong enough to fight on their own. That's God's heart. He wants us restored with a father. So Jesus' purpose in coming to show us the Father is to have heaven in every home. Now, right here where you're seated, I want you to think of your home life right now. Could you do with a little bit more of heaven in that home? And that's what God is speaking into this morning. And there's only one way that that can be achieved, folks. It's through fathers. You say, what kind of fathers? Mozzie, you don't know my father. My father was the only time I heard my dad was the sound of his right hand flying through the wind before it connected my left cheek. I don't know. Jesus came to show us the Father so that we can have heaven in every home. There isn't one of us that would say, no, I don't want heaven in home. I want it to be nach in my house. I want it to be fighting from the time we go to sleep, or I can't even go to sleep. I'm so stressed. I'm so worried. There's so much hatred. There's so much fighting. There's so much pressure. There's so much lack. I don't want heaven. Nobody, none of us would want to say that. God wants heaven in our homes, and the only way that can come about is through the presence of godly fathers. God wants to reveal His heart through the fathers. God wants to reveal His heart through fathers to whom He's revealed His heart. God wants to reveal His heart through fathers to whom He's revealed His heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, in the Message paraphrase, says this: there are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. How many of you know somebody like that? They can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. They can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. There's so many people, yeah, who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. But there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up. Wow. What a difference. It says time and effort. Folks, this thing of Christian discipleship, I remember in the days when I knew a lot less than I know even now. And I thought I was this on fire Christian, gave my heart to Jesus, totally surrendered. And like everything, when I do something, I do it flat out, and I'm living flat out for Jesus. And I think, now I'm going to hit the ministry scene, and I'm guiding to the harvest, and I'm going to lead people to the Lord, and they're going to become these mighty disciples. They're going to get filled with the Spirit of God, and they're just going to go on. And then I realized, no, it's not actually like that. It takes long, long time and hard work. You see, an instructor, the New King James, that passage of Scripture says, there are many, many instructors, but few fathers. An instructor will tell you, you need to do A, B, and C to achieve X, Y, Z. You've been given the tools. I've told you what to do. Have at it. Cheers. And the instructor goes on. But a father will stick with you through thick and through thin. When you're excelling, when you're doing well, when you're failing, when you're stumbling, when you're falling, when you're at your best, when you're at your worst, a father will stick with you through all of that. That's why the Scripture says there are many, many instructors in Christ, but few fathers. Now, you've got to understand, folks, that God has given me a pastor's heart. So pastors, what they want to do anything and everything all the time to keep the family together. It's never pleasant when somebody leaves, be it for a good reason or a bad reason, because it's like a part of you that gets torn away from being part of you and then comes on and does something else. Okay? That's why I battle to understand, and look, God, seasons come and go in Christians' lives. I get that. But the kind of season, it must be a godly appointed season and a godly time. In other words, if God calls you to a different place to have a different role and a different function, and God calls you and then you're sent out by his leadership or whatever, that's a different story. As opposed to, you know what, I don't like the color of the paint on the walls of the inside of this building anymore. I'm going to now just go find a different place because I just need a change. I don't know so much about that, because I'll tell you why. As somebody who has a pastor's heart, I wonder, imagine if God wanted that person that left the fellowship or whatever to grow to a point where they become a spiritual father to another youngster, where somehow that senior Christian just has a connection with a younger Christian, and that younger Christian sees, hey, this is somebody that I can look up to. This is somebody whose life's example I can follow. This is somebody I'm willing to learn from. This is somebody I can put my trust in, or it is a trustworthy person. We trust God. You understand what I'm saying, the context here. But somebody I can confide in. And that person just goes. And so I have this desire that people stick around long enough, become trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they can grow to be fathers of other sons in the house. That those sons can then be raised to be fathers of other sons in the house, who then can grow to become fathers of other sons in the house of God. That's why it's so traumatic when people just, I'm looking for a new season. I don't always understand that. I wonder, okay, you go from place to place to place. When are you going to get to the place where you actually become a father in the Lord? And can play a spiritual role in fathering younger sons in the house of God. You know? And as men, how many of you know as men it's been said, how true it is or not, I don't know, that only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. And we joke, we get old, but I refuse to grow up. And we can joke like that. But men, there comes a time in our lives where the Apostle Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I acted as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I spoke as a man, I acted as a man, and I thought as a man. There comes a time in our lives, men, where we got to take spiritual responsibility and father sons in the house of God. Now that was a good place for the men to shout, amen. There comes a time in our lives where we say, you know what? It's no longer just about me. I want to take the responsibility of caring and nurturing for other people. I want to take care. I want my life to be such an example that others would look at me and say, I want to be like that man because that man follows Jesus. I want to follow Jesus like that man follows Jesus. Now, if we chop and change every X amount of months or years or whatever, how are you ever going to get to be a son, a trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord? When was the last time you saw a Californian redwood tree decide, you know what, I don't like my spot in this forest anymore. I'm just going to uproot myself and I'm just going to go dwell over there a little bit. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. That means over time, good times, bad times, easy times, clear times, times where nothing makes sense. You stand your ground and you grow. You've got branches, but there's no fruit because the season is like that, but the roots are growing deeper and deeper and deeper. Men, we need to be at that place. We need to be at that place. And fatherlessness, you might thinking, I know some of your minds are going to a place where you think, yo, Muzzy, you're describing my life, eh? My dad was present, but he was absent. Or some of you might not even know who your biological father is. Some of you are thinking, yeah, if I just had a father figure in my life. So exactly how does this plan of God to use and prepare fathers fit into the Great Commission? Because people might say, oh, Mozzie, that's great. This is interesting. But Jesus told us to go into the world and make disciples. That's the Great Commission. What role does fathers play in that? And what role does fatherlessness play to stop that from taking place? Check these scriptures out. I love this. Check this out. Malachi 4 and verse 6 speaks about two things here. It speaks about the end-time ministry of Elijah. Most theologians believe that it's going to be Elijah and Enoch that are the last two witnesses during the tribulation. And it's also speaking about John the Baptist here. It says in Malachi 4, but he also took a, let's go to the next verse there, gents. Verse 6, if we can. No worries, that's fine. Anyway, it says, it speaks, he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the fathers. Now, it's speaking about a radical, radical revival that's going to take place in certain people's lives during the tribulation period. We studied that at length during the rapture, but also what's going to happen through the ministry of Jesus as prepared by John the Baptist. There's a time in John the Baptist's life where they thought he was Elijah, and he said, no, I'm not Elijah. Jesus speaks into this specifically and says, no, the spirit of Elijah on John the Baptist, okay? Elijah 4 verse 6 speaks of Elijah's end-time ministry, but a similar anointing like that of Elijah's went on John the Baptist so that John could prepare the way for Jesus. If you look at the life of John the Baptist, John, they also said, are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that the prophecies speak of? He says, no, I'm just preparing the way for the one who is to come. The one whose very sandal straps I'm not worthy to tie. John's saying, no. Jesus is his cousin. Okay, they're cousins. Like I'm near real cousins. Not Joburg South cousins. My cousin, Azet, brah. No, they're real cousins. And he said, I'm preparing the way for the one. So listen to this. John prepares the way for Jesus. Now remember when we asked the question about what is the role of Jesus coming? To die for our sins, to pay, to restore us to the Father, all of that. John the Baptist prepares the way. So Malachi 4 and verse 6 ends off with this statement. Speaks of Elijah's end time ministry and that similar anointing on John the Baptist, where John the Baptist is going to prepare the way for Jesus' ministry. We now know that Jesus' ministry is to reveal the heart of the Father. John the Baptist prepares the way. And it happens like this. When fathers' hearts are turned to their children and children's hearts are turned to their fathers, the way for Jesus is prepared. Think about that. When fathers' hearts are turned to children and children's hearts are turned to fathers, that's when the way is prepared for Jesus. You say, Mozzie, how does that work? Well, this is how it works. We get God, we get Christ. Christ is the head of his church. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of the home. Not the boss, because he's better, because he needs a helper. Amen. Ladies, that's just the order that God put it, because God knows best. I think God done that because we needed to get the job done. Ladies have just endless choices. Men will say, oh, this is the choice, choose this and get it done. Ladies are, yeah, but I feel like this today, and I feel like that. You just... And ladies, we love you for that. I wouldn't have it any other way. Okay? But here's the deal. A God-fearing man who has had an encounter with Jesus Christ, who's made Jesus Christ and his Lord and Savior in the home, is the closest example a child has to this God in heaven that they've not yet seen. Are you getting the picture, men? So if I am a heartless, selfless, childish muhu that grows up and my wife is a doormat and I click my fingers and she brings the remote and I click the other finger and she brings the dop and I don't make time for the kids, I'm always too busy, etc. My child is going to see, well, this is the closest earthly example I have of a father. This God who I haven't seen, who is in heaven, must be like this. I want nothing to do with him. But if God has revealed his heart to a man who's a father, and that man then chooses to reveal God's heart to his children, this child sees, this must be like heaven. This must be what God is like. I saw something this week that says, most men dream of making enough money to lead the kind of lifestyle that their wife and children do. Think about that. Provided the man is a hardworking man. Most men dream of making enough money so that they can live the kind of lifestyle that their wife and children do. And that's how God prepares the ministry, prepares us for the ministry of Jesus by turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to fathers. And how beautifully it ties up in this New Testament scripture. Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. So we see Malachi 4 and verse 6 talking about this anointing that wasn't Elijah, and Elijah's going to minister like that during the tribulation, but a portion or a similar anointing is going to be on John the Baptist. John's going to prepare the way of Jesus. Jesus is going to come and he's going to change everything, and this is how he's going to do it. This is how he's going to do it. Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. This is speaking about John the Baptist now. And he will do this to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So folks, what these two scriptures are saying is the most effective way that we can be ready for the ministry of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, the challenges of Jesus, the lifestyle of Jesus, is when the hearts of the fathers are turned to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. That's how we get heaven in home, where the men are taking the spiritual responsibility to say, family, let's get together and let's Just discuss this passage of scripture. Instead of the woman saying, oh, lovey, please, man. Come on, you know. Just come join us a bit here as I pray with the kids. Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah. No, you do it. It's your job to take care of the kids. Really? Every single parenting instruction in the scripture is given to fathers. Nothing to the mothers. Did you get that? Every single parenting instruction in the Bible is given to fathers and not to the mothers. And dan draai die man om sê, dis jou kinders, jy maak hulle groot. It's one of the reasons why there's such confusion in children's lives today. Because the father has not played the role of the father. And if you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you're feeling you're getting wrapped in the knuckles, my brother, I want to encourage you with this. That's why we're here. This is not a showcase for perfect people. It's a hospital for sick people like me. Where we can get God to come and change our hearts and say, okay, God, I see this now. How can I fix this in my life? And if you're doing a great job as a father, God bless you. Hold on to your seat because He's going to make you even a better father. And if you're not a God-fearing father, hold on to your seat because if you let Him, God will enable you to become a God-fearing father. So the purpose of God using fathers to bring heaven home is to make us ready to receive the gospel message. For many years, we've understood that the three primary contributing factors to failed marriages, by the way, the number one reason for divorce, you know what it is? Marriage. The number one reason for divorce is marriage. Okay, that was a joke. If you don't find it funny, okay. For many years, we've understood that the three primary reasons for failed marriages, where people fail in marriages, let me say that, is because marriage doesn't fail, people do. Marriage is God's idea and it's perfect. I said marriage is God's idea and it's perfect. So when we fail at God's idea, one of the three of the major contributing factors is an issue with all or any one of these things: communication, sex, and money. Either too much communication from the woman, wara, 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 or not enough communication from the man's side. Tell me about your day. No, just fine. How are you feeling? I'm okay. Come on. Somebody speak to me. Communication issues. You know, the common factor in broken relationships, one word. Misunderstanding. The most common factor in broken relationships, misunderstanding. And if we just communicated and listened, not to prepare our comeback answer, but we listened with the purpose of understanding, huge difference. That's when you get heaven on earth. And my wife sitting in the front row will tell you, yeah, preach it, you little so-and-so. You don't practice that most of the time. I know, I'm a work of grace in progress. Communication, sex, and money. Sex is the glue that holds the intimacy together. It's not the end all and be all of things. It's, you know, sex is like breathing. Or like oxygen. It's no big deal until you're not getting any. Come on, stop blushing, man. God made sex good. Did you hear that? God made sex. It's His beautiful idea. Satan and the world has come and corrupted it up and messed it up with porn and all sorts of stuff. God made it good. God made it beautiful. God made it special. God made it necessary. Sex is no big deal. It's like oxygen. It's no big deal till you're not getting any. So when there's a breakdown in that area, so communication, sex, and money, either too much of it or not enough of it. For years, we thought that was the contributing factors towards failed marriages. It actually all stems from fatherlessness. Because breakdown in communication, sex, and finances, communication, sex, and money, is as a result of fathers not fulfilling the godly role in the home. When the father fulfills the godly role in the home, those issues will be addressed to the point where they don't even become issues. Can somebody shout out amen in this place this morning? So these insecurities and irregularities are because of the issue. It's a direct result of fatherlessness. I'm going to end off with these statistics because I've been going on for a while now and I don't want to lose you. This is just to lay a foundation. We're going to look at this for several weeks. And I give God's word to you, my brother, my sister, older folks, young folks, wherever you are, you're going to see that every single one of us has a space in our lives where this can be applied to you right here, right now. Your dad might be the greatest thing since sliced bread, or you might be at a place where you wish God could erase his memory and his name right out of your mind forever. I don't know where you are at. God knows where you are at. And every single one of us can apply these teachings to our lives right here and now where we are. So this world needs a father. It's not a movement or a course. It's a program or a program that needs to be ticked off our to-do list. It's a movement that changes mindsets, that changes families, that changes churches, that changes cultures, that changes nations, that changes the world. That's what it does. It's a change of mindset that changes families, changes churches, changes cultures, changes nations, and changes the world. Here are some alarming statistics to send you on your way this morning. These statistics are global, and evidence shows that the statistics of these in South Africa is even higher. Are you ready? Are you ready? 57% of children in South Africa are raised without fathers. Whew. 57% people. And then we wonder why crime is like it is in this nation. So, 2 weeks ago, we were ministering at Clarence, and we just tried to, was it last week? Sorry, time flies when you're having fun. And we just took a break in the town square, the town plan, and we were just sitting and chatting, and some were eating and some were chatting. And youngsters walked past, and they started, I think they asked for money. They didn't ask for food. It would have been different. They asked for money. And I just said, no, please, just keep moving. Because, you know, guys, even Jesus took time to rest. And I was really just trying to rest my pup. And I brushed them off. And that night, when we were in the chalet, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me, and I wondered, Moz, would Jesus have done that? Would Jesus just have brushed them off? Yeah, they shouldn't be in the streets. Yeah, they're probably naughty kids. Yeah, they shouldn't have been asking for money. But I thought to myself, chances are that those kids don't even know who their father is. It's because of fatherlessness that they're on the streets begging for money. Maybe even the father told them how to do that or taught them how to, I don't know. And I realized, Lord, Lord, change my heart. And I repented before the Lord. And so 57% of children in South Africa are raised without fathers. 63% of suicides come from fatherless homes. We had a funeral this week, Friday. So yesterday, Friday, I don't know, I can't remember, Friday. In our state here, 34-year-old young man hung himself. 63% of suicides come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated by displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. 40% of children do not live with their biological father. 85% of children with behavioral problems come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless children come from fatherless homes. 71% of children who do not finish school come from fatherless homes. Folks, we as the Church of Jesus Christ have a tremendous, tremendous role to make a difference in society. You might say, well, Mozzie, I don't have any children. Neither do I. But you know how many youngsters I have had the opportunity to play a godly role in their lives because I have no children in my life? There's space in my heart and my life for those youngsters whose fathers are not there. You can do it as coaches, you can do it as bosses, you can do it as managers, you can do it as whatever your role is. You have an opportunity. If you say you're a God-fearing man and you live for Jesus and you pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you want that to happen, you can play a role, to play the role of a godly father in the life of someone who does not have the role of a godly father in their life. And folks, we can all do this. We can all do this, and all of this is possible because there was a time where the Heavenly Father looked upon us and He saw the state of mankind and He saw where we have ended up because of our disobedience and our rebelliousness and wanting to do our own things our way and not understanding Him and not believing Him. He saw that. He saw us, how we were being destroyed by the devil who hates us just because you're made in the image of God. He saw all of that and He decided, you know what? I've sent them my word. I've sent them prophets. I've sent them dreams. I've sent them visions. I've sent them angels. I've shown them everything about me is on display in all of creation. The book of Romans chapter 1 says the invisible attributes of God have been known by the things which are seen. Everything that's created. I've given them all of this. And still, they do not see that I am a father. One day, the Heavenly Father saw it fit to send Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus Christ, His Son. So I'm going to show you who I am by becoming flesh in your midst. I'm going to show you who I am. And Jesus came and laid down His life so that we could have restored relationship with His Father. And you're sitting here this morning, and I know there's some people, you're carrying, you think you don't, you think you're over the pain and the heartache and the bitterness and the disappointment of a father letting you down in the past. Listen, folks, it's like this. There was a time in my life where I made a vow, and I said, I'm never going to do this, and my dad done, I'm never going to do that, etc. And all I was doing was looking at the few little specks that was in my dad's eye. And didn't even see the huge planks that were in my self-righteous eyes. And you might be at a place where you're continuously blaming your father and the hurt is real. The pain is real. I get that. I'm not making light of it. But as God has shown you grace and will show you grace, would you give your father grace? And right here where you're seated this morning, if your dad has done you wrong, right here and now, say, Dad, I forgive you. Forgiveness is more to do with your freedom than anything to do with a person changing. It doesn't mean that they're asking for forgiveness. It doesn't mean that they've realized their wrongs. It's about you being set free so that you can live the life that God has intended for you to live. Right there where you're seated, you can say, Lord, I forgive my dad and I want you to pray right there. You know your dad, I don't. Maybe you don't know your dad, but that hurt is still there. And if you, I know there's people here right now, the Spirit of God is showing me that you've looked at other people and you've seen what a beautiful relationship they have with their parents, especially their dad. And you've thought to yourself, you've never had that privilege. And the devil has ridden you with that lie for a long time. And he's kept you at that place where you can't grow beyond that. I want you to just submit that to the Lordship of Jesus this morning. Say, Lord, I don't know my dad. But I forgive him. I forgive him, Lord. The scripture teaches that God is a father to the fatherless. And he's a husband to the widows. God, your heavenly father, can fix that and heal that. And you just forgive your dad right now this morning. Say, Lord, as you have forgiven me, Lord God, I just release my dad. I forgive him, Lord. In Jesus' name. And then there are others where you look at your dad and you think to yourself, Mars, my dad was amazing. I've been gifted with this incredible dad. I couldn't have asked for a better father. I want you to thank God right there where you sit. Thank God for your father and ask this. Say, Lord, in Jesus' name, by your Spirit, help me to be a better dad than even my father was. So that I can play a role in turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the fathers, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And last but by no means least, if you're sitting here this morning and you looked at the picture on the leaflet this week and you thought, yeah, you know, I can't really relate to that. Maybe you think that God is just this angry judge this dictator, the one who wants to chastise and is just waiting to zap you with lightning when you step out of line and you don't really know God as a loving Father. I pray for you this morning. If that is you, oh Lord, I pray for these folks this morning in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we pray this morning like you taught us to pray. We say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're holy, you're awesome, you're sovereign God. You're righteous, you're holy. And Lord, thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to die in my place. And Jesus, I want you, Holy Spirit, to show me the heart of the Father like I've never seen before. Help me to know the heart of the Father like I've never known before. Give me an understanding of the heart of God like I've never understood before. Lord, as you reveal the Father heart of God to me, may I then in turn go in my circumstances and in my sphere of influence, the lives of the people who are touched by my life, I pray that you help me to reflect the heart of God as a loving Father to them wherever I go. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a great week. Could you guys put a song together quickly, or are we going to press on the button of the deep end again one more time? Can you get us something? Excellent. So I want to ask this morning, I'll be doing an injustice. If you have a particular prayer request this morning, specifically on this issue, you know, people joke in the world, they see somebody like that's a little bit, maybe the lift doesn't go all the way to the top, and they joke and say, huh, that person's got daddy issues. I want to say this in absolute love and sincerity. And this is serious. If you have a daddy issue and you want us to pray specifically into this thing, please come to the come forward, Joe. There'll be folks to pray with you. We don't have answers for you. We're not trying to fix you. All we're going to do is we're just going to pray with you that you come to know the Father heart of